Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in Bellevue, Washington, just outside beautiful Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and make and can and will make this earth a better place. During the first hour, I interviewed Christine Day, an amazing and wonderful lady who's been in direct contact with the Pleiadians for decades. She will be at my Galactic Wisdom Conference on March 10, 11, and 12 in Olympia, Washington, giving a presentation. And during this second hour, I'll also be interviewing Simon Parks. He's a famous English politician whose soul is one-third human, one-third mantis, and one-third reptilian. Simon's parents work for both British and U.S. intelligence, and his unique perspective on the world is something that you will not want to miss. His interview will be starting in just a few minutes, and it should be really out of this world. With that, I'd like to bring my friend Carolyn White on. We'll talk for just a few minutes about the upcoming conference, and then we'll bring on Simon from England. He's waiting on the line now in England. Carolyn, hi. Good afternoon. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Ted, and hi to all your awesome listeners out there.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you, Carolyn. Tell me a little bit about the conference, Carolyn. I've been chatting a lot about it.
The conference this year, we have some old friends and new friends. It is just, the lineup is fantastic. We're going to have people from Japan, Sweden. Simon Parks is going to be there from England via Skype. So it is just a great variety and a lot of world-class information and presenters there. So if you were there last year, you missed out last year, it's going to be, I would say, out of this world fantastic, 100,000 times more information and more interest there. So I would really encourage everyone to go check out galacticwisdomconference.com and see. Opportunity to put the schedule up yet?
Because it'll be just done tomorrow. It'll be up there tomorrow.
Good,
yeah, I talked to Shastri.
Because just a jam-packed, we're going from 9 in the morning until in the evening. There's lunch and learns where we have an opportunity to experience some of these world-class presenters. So I'm really excited about it, and I think that it's just going to be a phenomenal presentation and conference this year. Ted, you did an excellent job of gathering together some of the most informative people, and just it's going to be awesome.
Well,
awesome.
Thank you. And I've also talked to my friends in the Galactic Alliance off-planet as well, and they will be making an appearance like they did last year. Last year, as you know, we actually saw UFOs above the conference site during the day, and we're able to photograph them as well as at night. And so this conference is different from other UFO conferences, in that we should be able to see actual UFOs above the conference site.
Yes. And I think that it's not just about the UFOs. It's also about connecting with those extraterrestrials, those beings that want to help us here on Earth to make our world a better place.
That's right.
And I think that that's the most important thing, because we're all in this for the same thing. We want to be able to raise consciousness and connect with the information that will help us do so.
Absolutely. Well, Carolyn, I know you're a busy person, and I thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate your time and talking about the conference. The website, again, is www.galacticwisdomconference.com, and the schedule should be up by tomorrow. We'll be adding some more things to it. So, and I hope you can come. And, Carolyn, thank you so much for coming on today.
Well, thank you, Ted, and we'll talk to you later. And goodbye and love to everybody in your listening audience.
Thank you so much, Carolyn. Thanks so much.
Take care.
Thank you. With that, I'd like to go to my friend Simon in Simon Parks in England. Simon, hi. I almost said good morning. Good evening. How are you today?
Hello, Ted. I'm fine. 9 hours between us, I think.
I think I'm 8 hours.
I'm 8 hours ahead of you. So
yeah.
My evening and your daytime.
If I was closer, I'd be happy to treat you to a cup of coffee there to keep help you keep awake. But
That's very kind of you. We, as you know, we British can't make decent coffee.
Well, then tea.
But we do make good tea, but you guys just throw it in the water all the time.
That's true. That's true.
Anyway, it's lovely. It's lovely to be back on your show. I always have such a great time when I'm on your show, because I think that the audience that you reach are people who are incredibly awake and aware.
Oh.
And I think that's really important, because at this time on the planet's history, everyone who has eyes to see and ears to hear, mm-hmm, should really be out and about and, you know, picking it all up. And I think that your show is doing tremendous work. So I'm really grateful that you've asked me, and I'm very pleased and proud to be on your show. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Simon. You have a unique perspective that not a lot of other people have, actually. You have a very interesting, I'll just read you a brief biography a little bit. You're a lifelong experiencer of aliens, shadow people, elementals, and UFOs. These include mantis beings, Draconis, reptilian, feline, small and tall gray creatures, crystalline beings. And then you write other creatures that can't be identified. You were an elected politician. Your biological mother worked for the British Security Service, called MI5, between 1965 to 1979. And while she was managed by British intelligence, she was also, in fact, working jointly for the National Security Agency of America. And your grandfather, who was also a British diplomat, worked for the Foreign Arm of British Intelligence, often called MI6. And in this case, he always also was closely associated with the Central Intelligence Agency. During this time, he was awarded the Order of the British Empire Medal, as well as the Commander of the British Empire Medal. And however, he turned a knighthood down from the Queen. Your grandfather was also a prominent Freemason and was Britain's appointed diplomat to the United Nations in the late 50s and early 60s. You went public with your story in 2010, and since that time have been giving this incredible information. Simon, I have to ask you, what do you think of what's going on in the world today? I know we spoke a couple of months ago. I think that was just before the election, what do you see now happening from your sources?
Well, first of all, thank you for that introduction. It was word perfect. You've done your research. There isn't a single interviewer in Great Britain who would be able to string those sentences together and so succinctly explain my history. So thank you for that. That's really great.
Oh, my pleasure.
No, thank you. Right. You're going out obviously to the world, but you are based in the States. So I'm going to just give a little bit of news for the stateside listeners. Some of it, I think, will be known. Some of it won't be known. It's always a great shame to me that the American people, until very recently anyway, were not receiving truthful news.
Mm-hmm.
With the change in the commander-in-chief, well, maybe we'll see some differences. Right, well, I wanted just to say that it's not widely known that one of Donald Trump's children was critically injured when they had an inoculation. It's not widely known.
Uh-huh.
Of course, Mr. Trump has a great deal of money, mm-hmm, and was able to have certain things looked at. And he came to the conclusion that the vaccine that was used was wrong.
Oh.
And although, again, it's not widely known, this was one of the driving forces why he decided to run for president. And he's only been in office now for a week and a bit, but already a very important pharmaceutical head office has been raided, and that actually is responsible for vaccines in the States has been raided by police agencies, and the computers have been seized.
Amazing.
So he's acting very quickly on that. What Mr. Trump wants to do is to create a free trade agreement between the United States, Great Britain, and India, and then added to that Russia. And I'm sure you guys may have picked the news up that President Trump has already removed all of the trade embargoes that have been placed on Russia. So you're going to see a very powerful group of countries, Great Britain, America, Russia, and India, but not China. China is to be kept out. Also, Mr. Trump is, through his connections with his generals and his admirals, has agreed that certain, when we say alien technologies, in the industry they're called exotic technologies. That's how you guys refer to them at corporate level. Some of those exotic technologies are to be released to the general public.
Fantastic.
The reason for this is twofold. The first is that Mr. Trump wants not just to make America great, but he wants to make America the number one country again. And if he was to use fossil fuels, it would take about between 7 and 10 years to put America back in the top position. However, if he uses hidden technologies, he can do it in 18 months. So that's the political driver for it. Now, there's another driver going on. I'm sure many of your listeners are aware that in Antarctica, there's been some strange movements going on. There's going to be a release of very, very advanced technologies from those underground facilities to both America and Russia, which means that the exotic technologies that the states have had for the last 50 years aren't so exotic anymore, and they're the ones that will be passed down through to the corporations to try and kickstart America very quickly. And what we're looking at here is a form of anti-gravity and also a form of alternative power. These are the two things that would make corporate America and citizen America vastly independent of countries like China. So watch out for that. Now, the other thing that's very interesting is that, of course, Germany as a country lost the war in the Second World War, but the Nazis won the war because they infiltrated the United States.
Right.
That's very interesting that 500 members of the CIA are to lose their jobs and are to be, well, just sacked. And what Trump has told the CIA, the new CIA director, is that he can recruit 500 back again. So he's not cutting the seats. He's just removing what I call Fourth Reich, SS, Nazi Fourth Reich groups. There's 500 to go. And also the corporations, there are a number of these top Nazis in big American corporations, they're all going to go. Now, where they're going to go to, there's only a few places above ground where they can go, and we're looking at Argentina, Panama, Brazil, and Ecuador. So they are going to actually be given passports, and they're going to go there. That'll be very interesting. Keep an eye on that one. The other thing is that the big thing that did cost President Kennedy his life, and we hope it won't cost Donald Trump his, is it Trump wants to do away with the Fed. What Trump wants to do is to return to the gold standard. And again, it's not widely known that President Trump has ordered an audit, a gold audit of all the gold held by government agencies in the United States, and also a gold audit of all the gold held by private individuals or people like the Bushes. And then he's going to see whether there's enough gold to return to a 1927, as it were, gold standard. If there isn't, then he's going to try and return to a silver standard, so back the money with real precious metal. So watch for that. Also, they're going to be pushing the Bitcoin, but so are the Chinese, so there's a bit of a trade war to go on there. The only other last thing I wanted to say was about quantum entanglement. This is a very, very, very exotic computer that can work in different dimensions. The United States have had it for a while, and in fact some of the telescopes in the United States that look up to the stars have quantum entanglement software which allows them to decode certain things. The Chinese have just launched their very first quantum entanglement satellite, which means they are attempting to connect with off-planet races, ones that they don't already know. So just from the state side, there was just a little bit that your president has been in for only a short period of time, but my goodness me, he has set so much in action that he'll have done more than President Obama did in his entire 8 years of office. So this guy, yeah. whether you love him or hate him, he is dismantling the old establishment, and I think that's a good thing. So what to go back to your question, I just had to get that out of the way with. Basically,
yeah.
I agree with President Obama's new ambassador to the European Union that within 12 months to 18 months there will not be a European Union and the European currency will just collapse. Certainly believe that there is a financial hiccup or backfire on the way. We're certainly going to see the house market hit. We're going to see the stock exchange go down.
Wow.
That's not just me saying it. We've got insiders within the industry, i.e. the stocks and bonds market, basically saying that, you know, it's 1929 all over again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not to be feared. It's not about being scared or frightened. Mm-hmm. It's saying that the human race has to go through this to come out the other side and be stronger. And this is an exciting time. It's not a time for fear, but it is a time of challenge. So, you know, all eyes on America. It is the most important country in the world, mm-hmm. and it's living up to its name. So, you know, it's exciting.
You've just given some incredible information, Simon. Really interesting. I wanted to ask you, I know that I've heard anyway that perhaps you told me this before a couple of months ago, that there are different extraterrestrial races working with different governments here on the planet. And I was just
yes.
curious, I think you mentioned this before, but which ET groups are working with the Chinese?
Right. It's very interesting for the listeners who perhaps not overly familiar with me. I did set up an organization that doesn't have any offices. It doesn't have any bank managers. It's just groups of people throughout the planet who all work together. And my organization is called Connecting Consciousness. And one of my coordinators in the States actually had the chance for 5 minutes to talk to President Trump.
Really?
And she was very... Yes.
Wow.
It was as a party. She was there with a friend of a friend. You know that. So she wasn't there as a person, you know, of standing within that political framework. She was there as a guest,
right.
And she had the chance to talk to him. And she did obviously told me that in the small conversations she had, she was able to bring up the reality of aliens,
mm-hmm.
and she said that. He didn't bat an eyelid. That's a very British term. What she was telling me was that he was fully informed. He knew about aliens. He had no problem with them at all. Now, that's very important because, and I am answering your question, Ted, in a roundabout way.
That's okay.
If a guy goes in to take office and he already knows, then he can hit the ground running and start asking questions. If someone goes in to government and doesn't know about aliens, and then they get a briefing, they're always on the back foot.
Right.
So what will happen is that he won't have much to do with the reptilians, who up till now, or offshoot of the Anunnaki, have been advising the Democrat administration. And before them, the Republican administration. So, you see, I don't look on Donald Trump as a Republican.
No.
I look on Donald Trump as Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump is not, you know, he's just Donald Trump.
Right.
And so he actually will go with who he thinks will give America the best deal, simply because he's a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got, in America, you've got this entrenched Vatican control system, which is Anunnaki stroke Draconis reptilian, which Mr. Trump won't really want to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Chinese, who have been playing a double game. They've got the same, but they've also got other more human off-planet entities that they've been talking to.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, the problem with the Chinese is that they want world domination through money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you've got head-to-head with the state. So what's happening there is that China is going to look in on itself and will not now take so much advice from off-planet entities. They're going to fall back on their own culture, which is tremendous. It's many, many thousands of years of culture.
Right.
But they will start to look to themselves and develop their own markets, and they won't play the political game anymore. So I think as a driving force, we can take China now out of the equation, which means that off-planet entities will now be looking for up-and-coming countries to try to influence them. So your number one target here is India. In the next 7 years, India has the potential to outstrip China in production.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think that the battleground in terms of the control of government in India between off-planet entities will start to shape up quite quickly. Russia, of course, has a Nordic race, which is broadly beneficial to humanity.
Mm-hmm.
The Israeli government has a off-planet connection, which is not very helpful. So every, not just every major country, because little Norway, tiny little country, has a very strong connection. So most countries have a ticket, if I can use that word, mm-hmm. a hotline through the off-planet entities.
Mm-hmm.
So China actually is going to drop out of the equation very soon.
Interesting. What a fascinating perspective. And India itself, do you know who India's been working with, Simon?
They haven't. That's the interesting thing. See, if you look back, what was called the Vedas, the old work,
right?
They talk about spaceships, and in their terminology, it was Vyamanas.
Right.
We're looking at documents which are in excess of 6,000 years old.
Right.
So they've always had a very, very strong connection. But in recent years, it seemed to have dropped away. Mm. And I think that's going to pick up. So what I'm broadly hopeful, it'll be the same group that's been advising President Putin. I would like to see that.
Mm-hmm. And in the past, I know I used to I lived in India actually for about 2.5 years. Love the culture, love the people. And it was the place, Simon, where I learned about karma and reincarnation. And
right.
It was an amazing experience, lived there back in the 80s and 90s. And what I was going to ask you is, I know during that time, India had defense contracts with Russia. Russia was helping them.
Yes.
And are there, I assume that there are the relations quite still good between India and Russia?
Yes, because you see, the America supported Pakistan.
Oh, yeah.
And India was supported by Russia.
Okay.
And so you had a reptilian connection with America and Pakistan, and a non-reptilian connection between India and Russia.
Oh.
So it's been going for a very long time.
Wow.
General Zia, who was the dictator, the military dictator of Pakistan,
right,
during the days of the Bushes, was quite well up with reptilian connections.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what we'll see is India being more open to connections with Russia, in the sense that in the past it's all had to be done under the carpet, because nobody wanted to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting around talking to the Russians. Well, that's all going to change now, and the Russians are actually going to come out of the cold and will be seen to be sitting around the tables. And you're going to find all of these Western leaders who 2 days ago were waving their hands and saying, you know, Russia is the devil, all now queuing up to sit around a table with President Putin to try and sign a trade deal. And that is the hypocrisy of so many politicians on this planet.
Sure.
You know, they don't actually believe what they say. They'll just do whatever they think either gets them reelected,
right,
or lines their own pockets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not just me. There have been many of us who've been saying, look, I'm not saying that President Putin is a good man. What I'm on record as saying, he was the right man at the right time, and he's done amazing work for his own people.
Yeah.
I did a conference last year,
mm-hmm,
and I put up some statistics which showed how he'd more than quadrupled the pension for senior citizens. How
really?
The average, right? Yes, how
amazing.
The average wage had gone up three times, four times.
Yeah.
You know. And that, of course, is not being reported by the Western press.
No.
But we need to say, why does President Putin keep getting reelected? He keeps getting reelected because he's doing something good for the majority of the people in Russia. And, you know, Western leaders need to remember that they are supposedly democratic and they elect. So why is it okay for them to be elected by Britain or America and then say something bad about someone who is elected by their own people. So I think we're going to see a balancing of the energies over the planet. I think we're going to see some people who have, another British term here, nailed their colours to the mast. Mm-hmm. In other words, they've declared for all intents and purposes and all for all time, this is what I believe. Mm-hmm. And suddenly you're going to see a complete change of face because they realise they're on the losing side. And the people, the citizens, aren't stupid. They'll mm-hmm. see through that. And I'm just pleased that I and others who've been saying, you know, the things that were coming for the last 5 years, it's now playing out. Right. And it means that it's playing out on a roadmap that is broadly supportive of humanity, which is really good. So I'm glad at the way things are going, by and large.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, that's really good news, Simon. I have to ask you a question about North Korea. Is North Korea basically an extension of what China does?
Are they kind of a loose cannon?
I tell you the best analogy
I can give is a wayward child of disorganized parents. That's how I would look at North Korea. North Korea goes running off on its own, and only when it starts talking about firing missiles mm-hmm. does the senior parent then sort of pull it in. Uh-huh. In other words, it is allowed to have independence because there's a lot of money laundering going on through uh-huh. North Korea. That's the first thing when China got Hong Kong mm-hmm. from Great Britain, that was seen as the way that money would be laundered.
Oh, okay.
That was the main point for all this. Mm-hmm. But it's gold that's laundered through North Korea. The gold doesn't go through Hong Kong.
Really?
So that's why China. Think about all the wars that you guys and we have had in Korea and in Vietnam. That was all about gold mm-hmm. hidden in caves. Mm. So North Korea has a role to play. And as long as it doesn't step outside of its role, then China will continue to support it. There's also what we call the White Dragon and Red Dragon societies. And there's a very strong traditional dragon base in North Korea. So there's a cultural connection there.
Mm-hmm. Wow, fascinating. I don't mean to jump to switch gears now, but I was curious.
You can do whatever you want. It's fine. You just go with it.
Well, thank you, my friend. I'm curious about it's been said there's rumored for years here in the United States that a lot of drugs are brought in illegally, of course, into the country. And that's one of the reasons some people think why we have such a porous border with a southern border with Mexico. Mr. Trump has indicated that he's going to build a wall. I'd love your opinion on that.
Well, there's plenty of video evidence on YouTube of a number of testimonies in the court where I can't remember the name now, but they actually won against the CIA or the FBI, I think it was the CIA actually, where they secured some compensation. And they were able to show that money and drugs were being dealt with by the CIA. And for insiders, it's incredibly well known. But for most hardworking, honest American citizens, it would be an absolute shock mm-hmm. that one arm, let's be quite clear, it's not everybody, one arm of an intelligence agency is running a very lucrative game. But you see, the British did this in Afghanistan. Mm. It was opium, the opium fields. Before that, what we call the East India Company. East India Company was a private company that traded around the world. And that's what governments do. They set up agencies at arm's length. So if they get caught, then the government doesn't necessarily get caught with it.
Sure.
And they you know, I mean, in England we had a wonderful queen called Queen Elizabeth I. Uh-huh. And she had a very interesting chap called Drake. Uh-huh. And he was the guy who beat the Spanish in the Spanish Armada when the Spanish tried to invade us. Drake set off with his ships and they had a battle and he beat the Spanish. But Drake used to go to see Queen Elizabeth I And it was all done unofficially. And basically, he would attack Spanish galleons carrying gold. And, you know, he would split the bounty with the queen. But nobody knew about that. And that's what governments have always done. They use agencies to do their dirty work for them. So I'm not at all surprised that it's an industry that's still going. And it doesn't just come through like that. It comes through other ways. Yeah. But what Mr. Trump is doing, it's not just about that. What he's doing is he's saying that the best way to put pressure on corporations mm-hmm. in the United States to come home back to America is to put a very physical barrier, which is a reminder to every board of the big corporations that unless they put America first, they could find themselves out in the cold. So it's more of a symbolic gesture to business to start investing in America. So it was a very clever move.
He made a decision, executive. He signed an executive order actually a few days ago. On one hand, he approved the pipeline at Standing Rock in North Dakota, Simon. But on the other hand, in that same order, he required that the pipeline be built totally with American-made steel.
Yeah.
And I was talking to my friends about it yesterday, and we realized I don't think there's any U.S. steel plants that are actually available here in the United States. So, in effect, he's approved the pipeline, but the pipeline can't be built until there's a steel plant here in this country. It's all been shipped to China and other countries. So, in effect, the pipeline at Standing Rock cannot be built.
Your country is very different from mine. The way the laws work in this country, an individual at that level can't get involved. It doesn't work like that in this mm-hmm. country. There's mm-hmm. always a committee or a group of people that you pass it to. Yeah. But you see, your country doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. And in effect, the president on all domestic issues are like that can really hold things up. Mm. And what he's done actually is he signed it off to say that the White House doesn't have a problem with it. Now that on the face of it makes him look very, very bad. But if you actually understand government, what he's done is he said it's got to go to the courts. So he's actually saying that I don't want politicians making a decision on this. I want the courts to decide it because that's where it's going to go now. You're going to have the oil company on one side and the environmentalist on the other, and it will be judges that will now decide. Mm. And you're absolutely right, Ted. He said that that he would only step in and hold it up if the metal for the pipeline was not being produced in the United States. And you're right, to my knowledge, there isn't anything being fabricated in the States at the moment. Now, you know, if somebody wants to open up a factory to produce piping, it'll take them 12 months mm-hmm. to do that. Right. So, in effect, the oil company may now withdraw from the case right. because if they feel that they do not have the logistics to produce this, they won't do it. Mm-hmm. And again, it's a very clever move because what you have to understand is that when Mr. Trump stood for election, he said, I am bringing jobs to America, which he is doing. Mm-hmm. And what's happening here is he's saying, well, yeah, you know, if the steel for the pipe is made in America, that's American jobs.
Right.
So that's what I promised you guys. Mm-hmm. So he's not breaking any of his promises. But what he's doing is he's making it damn near impossible
right.
for the pipeline to go ahead.
Well,
that's actually, for a businessman, which he is, he's showing he's a very astute politician.
Oh, yeah. Very, very astute. I'm sure you know of this gentleman, Simon, but his name's Jim Mars, and he'll also be giving a presentation at the my conference in March, along with you as well. And, of course, Jim has written, a famous American journalist from Texas, he's written a book, I believe it's called The Rise of the Fourth Reich, where he talks, we're changing subjects again, but where he talks about the influence of these he calls them Nazis in American government. What you said here about 20 minutes ago about 500 members of the CIA will lose their jobs, and many will also leave top corporations, which I thought just fascinating.
I've never met Jim. I've read one of his books. I think he's a very genuine man. I think he's truthful, and I think that what he talks is absolute correct.
Right.
Yes, it'd be lovely to share a platform with him.
Yeah, very, very interesting fellow. And you're incredibly interesting fellow, Simon. You also do soul readings, where you're able to identify an individual soul's star family background.
Yes.
I think I may have asked you that before. You did. I did ask you. You said I was originally from Arcturus that came down to the Pleiadians, who reincarnated in this density to try to raise consciousness. I do remember that. Yeah.
Yes, because you were interesting, because you have had multiple experiences. In other words, generally when a soul is created, and I do believe in God, God creates all life. Mm-hmm. I don't have any problem with that at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then that soul generally stays as it is, and then goes about and reincarnates and, you know, has experiences. But sometimes when we either are drawn to a task or a mission, or we volunteer, we need training. And if you're a human or human type, as you are, mm-hmm. the only place or the place of choice is the Palladian group.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be from the star family, but you would go there because it's the best training that a human can get.
Mm-hmm.
For the battle on this planet in terms of, you know, surviving and keeping your sovereignty. So in your case, your energy signature shows me more than one group. But although I've said that, there is an element, we've got to be careful here, but there is an element of you which remains hidden, because you are incredibly powerful. Hmm. And you are in excess of the ninth dimension. And so that had to be hidden, certainly when you were younger, because there were very negative people about. So, yeah, you are an incredibly interesting person.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Simon. I appreciate you telling me that so much. I know I have an affinity to the Pleiadians. And when you said before in my show some months ago that I started out in Arcturus in the sixth dimension, then came down to the Pleiadians in the fifth dimension, to learn how to be the skills to be human, and then came down to Earth from there to raise consciousness. That was just fascinating.
I don't go back on that, but what I've just added to that is saying that if you look at yourself prior to your human form, then you would have inhabited a body that was not biological. So if you trace yourself right back, then you're an incredibly high being. And this isn't about hierarchy. It's not about A is better than B.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about saying that in your case, mm-hmm. your connection is through consciousness. So if you think of a grain of dust blowing in a solar wind in some star constellation, that grain of dust, in a way that perhaps we don't fully understand, can communicate with a passing asteroid or a sun or another grain of dust. And it's consciousness that exists through all of the multi dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
And many, many people have a lifetime that can be traced back before they entered a biological body.
Mm.
And so I believe that you are one of those.
Oh.
That is why you do the work you do, and that is why, relatively, you're unharmed by all of the negativity that's around you.
Oh, well, thank you, Simon. I appreciate you saying that so much. That helps me answer some questions. I know I ask for protection both from my spirit family and also my Galactic Alliance friends every day to help in the work. And the Galactics have actually assigned, depending on where I go and what I'm doing, I ask them for protection, and they assign generally 3 to 5 ships, sometimes more, and I can clearly see them at night. At our conference last year in Olympia in June, you could see the Galactic ships during the day, very plainly during the day. And
well,
also,
that is a symbol to any, at that time, any military negatives. It's not solely as a fairground ride.
I see.
For people in the conference, that is, look, if you are going to run a show with lots of people coming, there will be negatives in the military and the industrial complex who will want to come and cause trouble.
That's
you
true.
Might overflying by military aircraft, etc. So the best way to keep a no-fly zone over something like that is to stick some ships that come out of the infrared cloaking, so they're invisible light, which means they are going to appear on radar, so that the elites know they're there, and then it's a message, just keep away. So that's really why they're doing that. So you're absolutely right. It's a protection, and they do it deliberately. And it's a nice show for people at the conference, but that's not actually why they're doing it. They're doing it there to make sure the conference can go ahead and not be sabotaged.
Oh, that's wow. Thank you so much, Simon, for saying that. I know that when I flew to Italy a couple of weeks ago, I visited Dominor, which is a spiritual community in the Alps near Turin in Milano. I could see the craft outside my flight from Vancouver to Amsterdam very clearly. And then when I got to Dominor, they were there again. Very distinctive ship there. There's about five or six points of light with a brighter light in the middle of it.
Right.
And, yeah, I'm able to communicate with them telepathically, and I'm always thanking them for being here.
Well, it doesn't surprise me at all. I'm really glad that you came into your power, that you understood who you were, that you didn't allow this 3D system to convince you otherwise. So many people start off on the right track, mm-hmm. and then they just get sucked into the same old world, or the chasing the dollar, or the type of world that we have to grow up in, and they lose their gifts. Well, you never did you? And you stayed true to what you knew you had to do. So that's a success story, because not everybody who comes here mm-hmm. stays on the right path.
Well, thank you, Simon. I appreciate you saying that so much. It's taken a lot of effort, but and I always knew when I was a kid that there was something beyond this 3D reality. I always did. I come from a psychic family, so it's easy for me. I learned how to and develop the gifts to talk to the other side. But there's just there's so much beyond what we can actually see. Going on.
But Ted, to you, you see that the veil is very thin.
Yeah.
Between this world and the others, mm-hmm. and I'm plural. mm-hmm. So you have always been aware to feel, to sense, to know. Whereas other people, it's very hard to do that. And for most people, they convince themselves that they can't do it because the education system, the universities and colleges mm-hmm. have told them that they can't do it.
Right.
Now, you never listened to that.
No.
You listened to yourself.
That's right. I did.
Yes.
And I thought they were crazy. They thought I was crazy.
You're spot on. You're absolutely right. They are crazy.
Mm-hmm. 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 One of the things I was told last year, to always follow your heart mind. In other words, you have a brain. You know, everybody, you have a third dimensional logical process. But instead of basing decisions on that, always follow your. I was told to always follow your heart mind, because you'll always reach a correct decision.
Yes.
And I
can't argue with that at all.
Well, in your own life, Simon, has it been difficult for you as well to follow this spiritual path?
I think sometimes we have to walk a path to decide whether it's what we want to do or not.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally we have decided on a path,
mm-hmm.
and we're just going to follow it no matter what.
Sure.
Like the fool on the tarot card, who has one foot on the cliff and then one foot on nothing,
mm-hmm.
because he is so confident that he's doing his right, that gives him the strength to what seems to be do the impossible. The world we live in is a physical world, and much of the work we do doesn't revolve around that.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always said it of many people, that we live in two worlds.
Mm-hmm.
We live in the world that we exist in every day,
right,
as we all do, but we also have this knowledge of another world, mm-hmm. which requires a different sort of interaction. And the skill is being able to switch between a normal, you might be sitting eating a meal, you might be out on the trolley bus, you might be you know, doing what have you. That is a 3D world, and you have to fit in, and you have to survive, and you have to get on and make friends. But you also have to do exactly the same in the other world. And sometimes it's difficult to switch between the two. So, yeah, I've had problems. Absolutely.
I wanted to ask you this. We've got about 9 or 10 minutes left, Simon, and I'm so appreciating talking to you today. You're such a you have so much wisdom and so much information to share. If humanity makes the right choices in the coming years, what kind of world do you think we'll have for our children and children's children?
You know, that's a really good question. Nobody has asked me that question before, or if they have, they haven't done it so properly. Many people, and I'm sure lots of your listeners will know, they've heard people say, "Oh, I'm glad I'm not 20. I'm glad I'm not, you know, having children, or, you know, what a horrible world this is." Actually, this is the most exciting time to have a child, because anybody of our generation or growing up now will have a knowledge of the world as we don't want it to be. The world that we're in at the moment has a control system which is frankly quite wrong. It's archaic and primitive. And anyone who grows up now will have the most beautiful experience, because they will see how it is and how it can be. In my country, in 1971, we changed our coinage. We went from coins that we'd had for hundreds of years when we joined the European Union to some horrible little tinny coins for the European Union. But I experienced that, and I remember in the morning of the day of the changeover, going to the shop to buy something. Didn't matter what it was. You just, you know, got some change, and you had the new coins. Now, it's a momentous, you know, to be able to say that I was alive during these critical years. And people will look back, because they don't realize it now, but books are going to be written about this time, how human consciousness changed, and the bad guys couldn't really stop it. They could slow it down, but they couldn't stop it. So it's going to be, the world will be the same, the clouds and the trees, all of that is beautiful, but the way it's governed, that is going to change, and it's going to change for the better, because human consciousness cannot be stopped. It can be slowed down, and that's what the negatives have done, but the human will is indomitable. It will succeed, and you know, that's what made America great, because the will to do something go out there and be something special. And many countries lost that. They you know, look, think of the ancient Romans. It was the greatest empire ever, and then come the Second World War, God bless them, the Italian troops weren't much good. So countries swing and roundabout, and what's happening in America is it's coming back to be great. So I think it's a great time to be around.
I have to tell you, Simon, during the time you've been on, I've been so focused on your interview that I looked around now, and there's this beautiful white light here in the studio that's come in while you've been talking, and I know my angel friends are very, very happy with you being on the program.
That's nice. That's nice. We need all the help we can get down here.
Well, that's true. That's true. Well, I want to tell you, you know, I'm sure you know that you found this too, that white light is always stronger than the dark. And this planet, I've been told, Simon, is slated for ascension into the higher dimensions. And sure, the negative entities may try to slow it or stop it, but they won't be able to stop it. They can slow it down maybe, but it's inevitable. And as they used to say on Star Trek, resistance is futile. So,
I mean, it's a good chance, because I've got an access now to your American audience, and many people who donate to me are American, and it's a good chance for me to say thank you to them. I have a British radio show, and what I do, I read out 20 first names of people who've donated. It doesn't matter whether it's $1 or $20. I just read them out just to say thank you, just their first names.
Beautiful.
I'm not going to do that tonight. But I wonder, all those who went onto my website and hit the donate button, thank you. And I wanted to explain why it's there, because
could you please give out your website so people could?
Oh, it's just simon.parks.org.
Okay, simon.parks.org. Okay, great.
And basically, I gave up the day job. I gave up the day job to do this. And the problem at the moment with the control system is that if you have a what we'd call a standard job, then you are controllable. Mm. I've done day jobs. I was a driving teacher, uh-huh. and I loved it. I taught you know, kids to drive, and not just kids, some very old people to drive. And that was wonderful, giving people a skill. I've done lots of things. But when you are in a job like that, somebody can say to you, listen, I heard you on the radio the other day, and we don't really like what you're saying. And unless you stop it, we're going to sack you. Now, that's the control people have. So I left all that. Uh-huh. And people donating to me allow me to do what I'm doing now, which is talk about things that many people don't want me to talk about. It gives me the independence to be what I am. So to all those Americans or Canadians or whoever you are who have donated, I just say thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. By the way, for those who are just tuning in, this is Ted Marr with Out of This World Radio. We're interviewing a fascinating gentleman named Simon Parks. You're coming to us live by Skype from England. We've got about 3 or 4 minutes left, and I wanted to mention that to you because I wanted to give you the rest of the time to wrap up your beautiful interview. And any thoughts on maybe if people ask you how can we make this planet a better place? Perhaps you could give my listeners some advice about that.
During the next few months, many things are going to happen which will seem, on a physical, traditional sense, scary, frightening. That is because the energy attached to it is negative. And what I would say to people is reject that. Understand that it's an experience. When something happens to us, what do? Do we choose to run away from it, pretend it didn't happen? Do we face it and deny it? Or do we face it and say, what can I learn from this? How can I change? So don't think that experiences that come to you or to the planet are in themselves negative. It's about how you deal with it. So when something occurs, I want your listeners to be strong. People who are listening to this will be spiritual, of course, and they're awake. And I'd ask you to support those people who are not yet awake. Don't say, well, you had your chance. You should have listened to me. I want you to say, look, the hands of the clock are 1 minute to midnight. There's still chance for you to realize what's going on. And I want people who are spiritual to become leaders, to form groups, form little groups in your communities, support yourselves. And that's what Connecting Consciousness was about, getting people to link and work together. This planet is one of the most precious, beautiful places of existence anywhere. And I mean, when I say anywhere, it's the multiverse. We don't appreciate how fantastic this place is. Right. And we are so honored and gifted and loved to actually be live in a physical body down here. So fight to protect what's right. So that's what I want to say, really.
Beautiful, beautiful. What wonderful words of wisdom. Well, Simon, I wanted to thank you so much again for coming on today. What is your website again so people can
simonparks.org.
Simonparks.org. Wonderful. And Simon, of course, will be at my Galactic Wisdom Conference, March 10, 11, and 12, giving a presentation. And for people interested in registering for the event, please go to www.galacticwisdomconference.com. And it will be updated with the new schedule and some more information about the speakers over the weekend. And with that, Simon, I just want to thank you so much for coming on today. I've learned so much from you, as always.
God bless to you, and God bless to all your listeners.
Okay. Thank you so much, Simon. Take care. That was Simon Parks coming into us live from the United Kingdom. And it's a beautiful day here in Seattle, and the studio has completely filled with this beautiful white light while Simon was talking. So I know that that my angel friends really liked what he had to say. For those interested, again, he'll be at my Galactic Wisdom Conference, March 10, 11, and 12 in Olympia, Washington. For more information, please see our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. And I hope everyone out there has a really beautiful and happy day. Take care, everyone. I hope your weekend's out of this world.